Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Dr. Gary Schilling is the president of A. Gary Schilling & Company, Incorporated, economic consultants and investment strategists. Gary is well known for his forecasting record. He's been twice ranked as Wall Street's top economist by Institutional Investors Poll of Financial Institutions. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which I have really enjoyed, and it's a very interesting subject to me, and the book is called Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and How It Will Affect Your Investments, Business, and Personal Affairs. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. Gary, give us a little bit of a tour of an update of what's going on in the world right now with regard to financial markets, especially with respect to deflation.
If we go back a year in the summer of last year when Russia was starting to collapse financially, and then, of course, that spread to long-term capital management, many people really believing that deflation was on the way. We had a lot of people agreeing with us. Now I would say that herd has dwindled. In actual fact, I don't think that the strategy, the forces for deflation have changed at all. I mean, the fact that we're that the Cold War is over, that governments universally are now headed for big surpluses, very important because it means you don't have that extra demand that creates inflation. Quite the opposite, governments running surpluses are taking more out of the economy than they're putting back in. In effect, there's more supply than demand.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the technology, the internet, the outsourcing, moving facilities to Mexico, new market economies like China, all of this continues to work in favor of deflation. But the sentiment has changed, and I think particularly at the Federal Reserve. Now, I would argue that the Federal Reserve, by their tightening action, is making sure that deflation will occur. They're fighting the last war, in my view, inflation, and not the next one, deflation. But that's pretty normal for central bankers.
Mm-hmm.
They congenitally fear inflation. And the point is that once the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates, as they did a month ago, they keep raising them until something happens. That's always the case. They never simply raise them and then sit back and do absolutely nothing. It's part of a campaign.
But wasn't their most recent action, and I say most recent actions, I'm talking about the last two meetings that they had, when in May, I think it was, they didn't raise rates, but they let everybody know, they put all of us on notice that they were inclined to raise rates, and then basically it became a foregone conclusion that they were going to raise rates. The market built those rates in, and sort of, and then when the rates actually were increased a quarter of a point, it was kind of a ho-hum day on in the stock market. Because they did what everyone expected them to do, but at the same time they sort of let us know that they probably weren't inclined to raise rates again.
Well, that's the point that I think has created a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Because in the last nine times they've raised rates, they always went to a neutral position after they did that action, as they did this time. The only difference is that until the May meeting of the policy board there, they didn't announce at the time what their intentions were. You had to wait about 6 months or so to get the minutes of that meeting,
right,
to find out what their stance was. But the point is, when they take an action, they always go to neutral, because otherwise they would have raised rates more. In other words, they've done what they think is appropriate for that time, and they move to neutral. But if you go back to 1994-95, they raised rates four successive meetings. Their meetings are every 6 weeks, and each time they went to a neutral position. So this doesn't really tell you anything. That's just the normal course of things. And I think that's what has led a lot of people astray. They think, oh, well, now the Fed has done what they said they do, as you pointed out, that it was all anticipated and so on and so forth. And it was anticipated. This Federal Reserve, under Greenspan's leadership, is very much inclined to telegraph their actions.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Pardon me?
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. It gets markets ready for events, but sometimes they don't have the shock value that they may want it at
well,
times.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's going to be testifying again on Thursday semi-annual testimony on the state of the economy and financial markets and so on, and everybody's waiting to see, is he gonna tell us in all likelihood what the Fed may do when it meets in late August.
Mm-hmm.
So it's but as I say, the point is that the Fed, when the Fed raises rates, they keep raising them until something happens. Now normally what that something is the Fed sees that they've gotten rates high enough that a recession is in prospect, and then they back away. But it isn't always that way. If we go back to the early 1997, the Fed raised rates once. They were ready to raise them again in the summer, but Asia started to fall apart, and so they held off and ultimately cut rates last year. So it can be an exogenous force that can intervene. But as they say, the normal course of action otherwise is they just keep, now this, they keep raising. Now this can take years. This isn't a matter of doing it all in a matter of 6 months or so. But as they say right now, although I think we're headed for deflation, the Fed is likely to raise interest rates in the meanwhile, and that will ensure deflation and much, much lower rates, interest rates eventually. But in the meanwhile, I think you've got to be prepared for more Federal Reserve tightening.
I'm certainly no expert on the Fed, but I have become a very ardent watcher of the Fed, and it seems to me that they take a much shallower, much more situational view of inflationary prospects than you do when you contemplate deflation. I mean, you take a longer view, and I think that's appropriate for you to do that, and I also think it's appropriate for the Fed to take a more situational view of the prospects of inflation, because they are dealing with the moment when they're trying to settle fears. Would you agree with this?
Well, yeah, they have to, and the key point is that whatever they do today in monetary policy won't affect the economy for maybe as much as a year.
Right.
Because by the time it works its way through to, say, to higher mortgage rates, and that then
inclines
people to buy houses, etc., and they build the houses.
All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blessing, Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 1-888-822-8255, and our special guest is our good friend Gary Shilling, the author of Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and How It Will Affect You. Gary, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Yeah, the book is available through Amazon.com. You can get it through bookstores, or you can call directly the publisher. And that's a toll-free number, 888-346-7444.
Okay. And I recommend it to you folks. This is a bellwether book. I mean, there's a lot of watershed information in here that I think if you're the kind of person, if you're like me and you like to follow these things, especially if you're planning the long-range future of your company, you need to be reading things like this book on deflation, because Gary Shilling was talking about deflation probably, what, 20 years ago, Gary?
Well, we started talking about the unwinding of inflation actually starting in the late 70s. Inflation rates actually peaked in 1980 at about 15% annual rates, both on wholesale and retail prices. It's been unwinding since then, but yeah, I think we were probably the first people at least on a national level to talk about the unwinding of inflation, and then we started talking about actual deflation, in other words, declining prices on a widespread and chronic basis, and that's what we mean by deflation.
Well, we
started talking about that about 5 years ago.
One of the reasons why I like to introduce you to my audience, Gary, and to talk to them about the things that you believe and your book, is many people in my generation, especially the baby boomers, grew up and started our families in periods of and had young families in our first and second homes and that sort of thing in periods of extreme inflation. And so, I mean, hardly any of us went a day without saying something about inflation, never mind that it was all around us in the things that we consumed and bought and sold. And so we really have to be reprogrammed for, in some ways, to understand what's going on. I mean, we like the fact that inflation is not here anymore. Or that is, I say it's not here. It's not very evident in our life. What was it? Less than 2% last year, something
right.
like that.
Right.
And so we know that, and we hear the short view perspective from the Fed saying, you know, inflation is here, inflation is coming. Let's raise interest rates, that sort of thing. I do think that we need the counterbalancing vision of Gary Shilling to talk to us about other things, because there are, regardless of what the Fed is saying, regardless of what you're seeing, regardless of the imprinting that you have in with regard to inflation over the last 30 years or so, there are deflationary forces in the marketplace right now, and some of them are going to affect your life. And you may be ready for it, or you may not be ready for it, and that's the reason why I want to talk to us about this.
Well, that's a good point, Jim. As a matter of fact, there is a chapter in the book called Business Strategy for Deflation, 18 Elements, that I think might be very useful. And one of the things we talk about there is the idea of number 15, is share company risk with employees and pay more from the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, if your selling prices are going down, you've got to have a lot of productivity growth to offset that, but you've also got to make sure that you're not paying employees with constant higher wages that are more and more expensive relative to your selling prices. Even constant wages and salaries are in effect rising relative to your selling prices if selling prices are going down. And so people have to really reorient their pay policies. And this is tough for people who have been used to getting, you know, 3% wage increases. Regardless, they have to take a whole new view and make sure that they're in effect sharing the risk, and that employees, if the firm does well, that they get paid. But the firm doesn't do well, that it isn't the owners, the stockholders, or left holding the bag.
And folks, that's chapter 28, and that's Business Strategies for Deflation, 18 Elements, and we've talked about some of those before, Gary, and I'd like to come back to some of those again later in this hour. But, you know, very appropriately, the Fed is concerned about the fact that they're not so much concerned, it seems, with inflation in pricing as they are in payroll, aren't they? That's one of the things that they're really concerned about. And they really are scratching their head over why it isn't worse than it is.
Well, they are, and I think what they don't fully comprehend is the tremendous improvement in productivity that is going on.
That's now, the missing link that they need to lean in more to.
That's really two factors, I think. One is it's the fruits of all the restructuring that really started in the early 1980s. Restructuring initially is very disruptive. It's only later, when things smooth out and fall into place and all the bugs are worked out, that you get the benefits of it.
Stand by, Gary. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Gary Shilling. All right, we're back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And our special guest is our good friend Gary Shilling. He's the author of Deflation, and which is a concept that most of us are not really familiar with, except for some of the telltale signs that are around. One of the things, most of us don't invest in gold, Gary, but gold is one of those little indicators. Gold is down, almost $100 in the last year or two. So those are some things that you can look around and you can see deflation happening around you. But now, one of the things that we want to point out that Gary, that you've helped me to understand over the last year or so that we've been talking about this, and that is the difference between good deflation and bad deflation. And there's one component out there in the marketplace that's really helping to make deflation be good in certain areas, and that's the ingredient of productivity.
Absolutely, we talked about that a little earlier. And I think it's now being driven by two things. One is all the restructuring I mentioned, and the second one is the new technologies of today. And these are the obvious suspects, the semiconductors, computers, the Internet, biotechnology, telecommunications. These things are not exactly brand new. Computers were invented right during World War II, but they're now getting big enough that they're starting to drive the economy. And they enhance productivity in two very important ways. One is they by themselves. Their tremendous technological advances, they get cheaper and cheaper. Now they're getting to the point they're almost giving PCs away if you'll watch a certain amount of internet ads.
That's right.
And the second point is that they enhance the productivity of their users. In other words, people who use telecommunications now have the ability to communicate to greatly increase their productivity in running their businesses, for example, and the combination of something that itself has great productivity growth and drives down its prices and then enhances the productivity of its user, that's a dynamite combination.
Well, and you talk about enhancing productivity of the user. Let me throw out a statistic for you. I saw something recently that came from the United Nations, and they said that there are currently 170 million people around the world who are on the internet.
Yeah.
And they predict that in 18 to 24 months, that will become 700 million
right.
on the internet. Now, you and I know that fundamentally one of the things that really helps to make people more productive is email.
Email
can be a very productive tool.
Sure.
Now, you can also get mired in email, but if you don't learn how to use it, you have to learn how to use it properly, like any tool. But that has become a very productive tool. And when you go from 170 million people who are online now to 700 million in 18 months, think about what that's going to do. That one little element of our daily lives is going to give us more time.
And what this does, it means you're producing more for each hour worked, and that's more to be distributed among everybody. It also means more supply. It pushes down prices. So you have in the good deflation, you have this really very nice combination of declining prices, but yet more goods and services that everybody can enjoy. And we had that in the late 1800s, we had it in the 1920s, and I think we're going to have it in the decades ahead.
Well, one of the things that has translated directly and created deflation is look at the price of a long-distance phone call these days.
Well, that's right. You know, they've gone from 30, 40 cents a minute now down to about a nickel a minute.
That's right.
In some cases, even cheaper.
What they're having to do is compete with the virtually free email.
Sure.
Now, I say virtually because you do have to buy a computer.
Yeah.
You do have to pay for your ISP.
Sure.
You have to get online. So there is some cost there. But basically, the actual sending of that email costs you the electricity that your computer takes.
At the same time, Jim, bear in mind that inflation is a wartime phenomenon, and we had 60 years of war, starting with the military buildup in the 1930s and World War II, the Cold War with Vietnam and Korea as part of that, the war on poverty. We've only now left that, so we've had 60 years of war, 60 years of inflation, and as a result, there's virtually nobody in business today who knows how to deal with anything but inflation.
That's right.
And that's why it's very important, even though this deflation I think it's ultimately going to be beneficial to most people. It's very important for people to think about it and to start to realize that they're going to have to run their business very differently in this than they did during inflation. I mean, for example, somebody renting space. When you have inflation, the rents are going to go up. You want the longest lease possible. When you're in deflation, you want the shortest lease possible because prices are going to go down, building materials are going down, new buildings are cheaper than old buildings. You want to be able to move to an old new building or put the pressure on the landlord to lower his rent in deflation. That's very important, and that's very different than inflation. So people need to get ready for it, and that's what my book really attempts to do, is to explain the case and then help people prepare for it in running their portfolios, running their business, and running their personal lives.
Well, no question about it, and that's one of the reasons why I like to introduce you and to keep reintroducing you and your book, Gary, to my audience, because as I said earlier and as you just restated, most of us are not prepared to deal with deflation. We're so accustomed and programmed and imprinted with inflation, and we've got to look at our products and services and look at what's happening around the world to see what threats are coming to causing our products and services to be deflated and to completely change the way we operate our businesses. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gary about some more business strategies involving deflation for your small business. 39 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Well, Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us today. Our special guest is our good friend Gary Schilling, the author of Deflation, Why It's Coming, Whether It's Good or Bad, and How It Will Affect Your Investments, Business, and Personal Affairs. And Gary, tell us one more time where the book can be found.
Yeah, you can get the book through the online book dealers, Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it through bookstores, or you can call the publisher directly, and that's a toll-free number, 1-888-346-7444. 888-346-7444.
Gary, one of the things I like about your book is that it's you're an economist, you're a technical person, and you know you're capable of speaking in these terms in ways that you would totally lose me if you wanted to. But you're the kind of person that's able to bring these sophisticated principles, financial principles, down to earth for regular folks just like me. And folks, what I like about the book is there's a lot of good research in here. There's a lot of technical data in here for the people who understand that and for the people who are sort of Gary's peers. But there is an awful lot in this book that are it's just basic rubber meets the road kind of stuff that Gary has got in here for us, and I've enjoyed reading it, and I'm certainly no economist by any stretch of the imagination. Chapter 28 is my favorite chapter, and that's the business strategy section. And we're going to talk about a couple of these this segment, but I wanted to read to you some of the things that are in some of the highlights of this chapter. The first strategy is continue to cut costs and push productivity. Second one is to anticipate deflation. Number three, avoid excess capacity. Just listen to some of these headings, and you'll get an idea for some things that you need to be doing to help you to deal with deflation. Keep inventory slimmer than bare bones. Emphasize new technologies, not old. And that is such an important point there. And then I'm going to move over to 14, Gary, and that's emphasize service to customers. It's interesting that in a book about deflation, you would point out something that we've talked about, in fact, a couple of times already this week with salesmanship experts and marketing experts, and that's emphasizing service to customers. What does that have to do with deflation?
In deflation, by definition, you have excess supply. And this obviously creates tremendous competition. In other words, you're in a buyer's market. You're not in a seller's market. And as a result of this competition, both domestically and internationally from imports and so on, a lot more goods than earlier are likely to become commodities. In effect, there isn't going to be much to differentiate them one from another. However, somebody who is servicing customers and very much tailoring that service to the customer's needs. Now, obviously, it has to be in a way you can still make money.
Right.
But if they can provide the extra service, they can turn a pretty dull commodity into something that is very valuable. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine makes envelopes and stationery. Now, this is pretty mundane stuff, and today when you can print up letterheads on a printer, it even is in less demand. But this guy's highly successful, and one of the ways he does that is when his salesmen go to make a call on a prospect, they have gone through the internet, through the library, they've researched this individual's background, this prospect, they know where he went to school, what his hobbies are, who his spouse is, all about his business, and then he walks through the door, and he can talk like an old friend to this guy, and the guy is obviously impressed that somebody's taken the time to do this homework, and that gives him a huge edge up over the competition, who's just coming in and saying, "Well, we got good paper, we got good envelopes, the glue on these, we'll keep them stuck together until they're received." These are the kinds of things that can differentiate a product in a time when it's very difficult to do that, and that's what deflation to a certain extent does.
Well, you said something a minute ago that my audience has heard me say a lot, and that's the word commodity. And you know, typically, historically, when we've talked about commodities, we've talked about soybeans and corn and crude oil and things like that. But virtually everything that we have to sell these days, whether even including service products, are commodities, because there's almost nowhere you can go. There's almost nothing that you have to sell that someone can't go a quarter or a mile or whatever away, or another click on the mouse to find the same thing somewhere else. And the only thing that differentiates you between you, differentiates between you, what you have to offer and what they have to offer, is the way you deliver it. And I think that's an excellent point. And folks, the fact that the economist Gary Shilling has this part, this kind of a vision and perspective in his book tells you, it sort of backs up what I said a minute ago about how user-friendly and how small business-friendly this book is. And, you know, one of the things, in a recent hour, we had a guy named Phil Nolman on, who's a marketing expert, Gary, and he said that one of the companies that he knows did a survey, and they asked why the customers liked their business, why they came back to them, and they were expecting to hear because of your great products, because of your pricing and all the wonderful selection that you offer. And guess what? It didn't have anything to do with any of the products. It was some little wrinkle that they were offering. I think in this particular case, it was the mints that they offer them when they come in the door. That's just incredible. Stand by, Gary Shilling. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessing, the Small Business Advocate. Folks, when we come back at the end of the hour, we're going to talk about some of the winners and losers in deflation. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there. And when you get there, you'll be able to find Gary Shilling there. He's prominent in at least a couple of places in our website, including the Brain Trust, and which including links to his site and to his email. Gary, let's talk about, as we wrap up the hour, let's talk about a couple of the lists that you've got in the back. First, let's talk about business losers in deflation. And one of the things that you point out is the companies, the industries who rely on regulation will be one of the losers.
We're in a deregulatory climate right now. Of course, it started in many years ago with the brokerage industry in this country, airlines, trucking, banking, and most recently utilities, electric utilities. It's continuing abroad in airlines and financial services in Japan, Europe, etc. But generally, I think regulation is being cut back. Now, that doesn't mean that OSHA regulation and EPA and all the things that everybody tears their hair out over are going to go away. But I think generally there is a deregulatory climate, and businesses, you know, you look at the SNLs of old and now electric utilities. I mean, these guys heading those may have been great corporate citizens and local business, local community leaders, but they didn't know what competition is all about.
Exactly. They were insulated.
And they're getting hurt.
Yep. Another thing, and this seems so obvious, but I wonder how many of us are still vested in the old technologies. Tell us an example of some of the old technologies.
Well, old technology, autos, for example, are an old technology.
Yep.
Now, they were yesteryear's new technology back in the early part of the century, but now they don't change much in form and substance. That's what I mean by an old technology. And those are the kinds of things in deflation where people can wait to buy them because they're going to be cheaper next year. And, of course, by waiting, that creates more excess capacity, forces producers to cut prices. Suspicions are confirmed because prices have gone down. People say, I'll wait even further. Airline travel is another one. Appliances, houses, these are all old technologies. And if there are also things that are big discretionary, big ticket discretionary items for consumers, and consumers go back to saving, and I think they will, then there's a double whammy affecting these. So autos, I think, eventually are going to be mainly produced outside of this country. Mexico is becoming a major producer of autos. Yep. Because labor is cheaper there, and they can simply produce them there and ship them up to this country.
Absolutely.
Auto parts is not a business I would want to enter today.
That's got to be the safety valve for the average family home, average family automobile that lists for $25,000. You know, there's got to be something there. Another thing, let's move over to the winners. We've only got about less than a minute. Some of the winners that you point out are going to be the people who are niche-oriented, and this really speaks to small business owners, doesn't it?
Well, that's correct, and again, this goes back to this idea of a heavy service component, but if you're producing something, even a fad item that comes and goes before they can figure out how to do it in Hong Kong and ship a zillion of them here, or you've got a niche business, somebody who has a special delivery angle on whatever it is they do, sell flowers, sell widgets, sell gas, sell almost anything. But if you figure out a niche, someplace that competition can't wipe you out, and in a surplus world, that's very important.
And also, folks, other winners are going to be the ones who anticipate deflation, which I agree with Gary. I think it's not only on the way, it's here, and how bad it's going to get, that's another story, and that's for the future to know. Gary, thank you very much. You did a great job. We've enjoyed having you with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Jim. I always enjoy it.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
You bet.
Gary Schilling, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Deflation. I recommend you check this book out. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.